Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside, and after he had sat down, his disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. How blessed are the poor in spirit, the reign of God is theirs. And blessed too are the sorrowing, they shall be consoled. Blessed are the lowly, for they shall inherit the land. And blessed are they who hunger and thirst for holiness, they will have their fill. Blessed are those who show mercy, mercy shall be theirs. And blessed are the single-hearted, for they shall see God. Blessed too are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons and daughters of God. And blessed are those persecuted for holiness' sake, the reign of God is theirs. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of slander against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. You all doing good? Good. And you survived the drawdown? Good. Good food and good celebration. If we were a very rich church, and we are, but if we were very rich financially, then I would have a pad in front of each of you in your pew. And make it very easy. I would ask you the questions and you could punch in your numbers and they would register up here for me. And I was thinking during the week it would be particularly appropriate for this gospel. You've heard this gospel how many times? 50? More. 100? 150? You've heard it an extraordinary number of times. Matthew chapter 5 verses 1 through 12. Very significant departure in the gospel, particularly in the gospel of Matthew, and all of those of you that are studying Matthew's gospel at the present time will see this. This is one of the five great discourses in the gospel of Matthew, and everything is centered around these instructions. This one begins chapter 5, and it runs chapter 5 through 7, and it begins with Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. It's all of this is part of the great drama of St. Matthew, moves him to the mountain because based on Matthew's perspective of the Old Testament, the going up to the mountain was pretty important for that communication with God. It was a great Old Testament perspective. So as distinct from St. Luke or St. Mark in the Gospel, it's not on the plain, but it's on the mount. And Jesus has some pretty important things to say to his followers and say to his disciples and by indeed association also to us. So, we have our pads. You have your pads in front of you. Now I'm going to ask you, how do you see the Beatitudes? You've heard them over and over again. Number one, do you see them as impossible ideals? As goals to be achieved? As wishful blessings upon those who suffer? Or as hallmarks of God's kingdom when it arrives. Now you can punch in. Oh, interesting. 27 for number one. Wow. Wow, only 17 for number two. And 42 and the remainder. Interesting. Few no votes, right? But it's very important. What do I see in this teaching? And for Matthew, it is setting up really the essence of the gospel. Everything that we will encounter as we journey from here will be really related to this, because in essence, it's summarized in this. Attitude is really important. We call these the Beatitudes because Jesus is making it clear, if this is what you want to be, then here is the attitude you've got to cultivate to do it. There are 8 attitudes, there are 8 virtues in it. The attitudes are comfort, inheriting the land, satisfaction, obtaining mercy, seeing God, being called sons and daughters of God. That's a nice one. You ever been called a son and daughter of God? Been called a son of other things, but son of God or daughter of God, how beautiful. Absolutely. What a nice attribute. And that is what we are. Why are we not called that? And what is the virtue that goes with it? Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers, hallmark of the sons and daughters of God, peacemakers. Can you imagine how that would change our world? If we really acted as sons and daughters, can you imagine just here in our own country how much it would change things? And then you take it further out and globally and say, we are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. We are the people of peace, not the people of arrogance, not the people of greed, not the people of selfishness. We are the people of peace, bearing peace in His kingdom. What a difference it would make. John Mitchell, the author, says, our attitude toward life determines life's attitude toward us. Nice. You like it? Oh, come on. You really like it? Or you just feel it's okay? Our attitude toward life determines life's attitude toward us. What a great truth. It's just like what we reflected on last week. We tend to see other people not as they are, but as we are. We filter it through all of these attitudes and all of this conditioning and all of this upbringing and all of these prejudices that I continue to hold in my life. I see other people through that window. Wow, wouldn't it be nice to just clear that window and see as He sees? But the good news, as we said last week, is the great break we get and the great grace is He sees us as He is. That's the good news. He doesn't get bogged down in our faults and failings and weakness. He constantly wants to forgive and reconcile us and draw us to Himself. That is the good news. But the reality is our attitude toward life determines life's attitude toward us. If I see life as a pile of stuff, then I will most likely experience life exactly that way. So determining my attitude, and that's what Jesus is talking about, having an attitude. It's great to have an attitude, isn't it? You like it when people say, you've got an attitude. No, you got to figure out what they really mean, right? Because it's one of those words that is so tainted, it can be absolutely on this side of that continuum. But Jesus is saying it is important to have an attitude. He's saying, in fact, the attitude makes all the difference in the world. The attitude for us in terms of our relationship with Him and hearing this teaching. In the books of wisdom, they had all of these Beatitudes. They were all in existence already. But Jesus begins His public ministry with this proclamation, and a whole new energy is given to it. You see, in the book of wisdom, when they were presented, those people didn't know about resurrection, and they didn't know about reward hereafter. They lived essentially just for this particular time. And so they had a natural anticipation that the results of these attitudes was going to be immediate. Well, it doesn't work that way. It takes a lot of endurance and a lot of continuation, and we are journeying toward, hopefully, that fulfillment. And yes, the attitudes yield, ultimately, the grace in the kingdom. They find their ultimate fulfillment when the kingdom of God really reigns, not just in part or not just somehow, but when it really reigns, then it finds fulfillment. So attitude is particularly important. Attitude makes all the difference. That great author, Viktor Frankl, that Jewish psychiatrist who was imprisoned in Auschwitz in the terrible calamities and lost his parents, his brother, and his sister in Auschwitz, and talks about just the beatings he endured and the dehumanizing factors. And he said, as I observed the people who were there with us, he said, I began to see what really kept some going and what caused others to give up. He said, just being naked and being dressed down and beaten and maltreated and malnourished. But he said, after all of this, I felt the need to write this book so the people would understand what makes the difference. And he wrote the book. It's a classic, Man's Search for Meaning, one of the great behavioral pieces and attitudinal pieces that has ever been written. And he says, it works at describing what it was that made life tolerable for some, while others simply gave up and died. He said, what was really needed was a fundamental change in our attitude toward life. We had to learn that it did not really matter what we expected from life. What was really important was what life expected from us. We needed to stop asking about the meaning of life and instead to think of ourselves as those who were being questioned by life daily and hourly. What a great truth. Great woman in our parish just 2 weeks ago described that when she called me and she told me she had cancer and we buried her last Wednesday. And she said, I'm not going to take any treatments. I'm fine. 91 years of age, lived a very full life. Okay, and she said, I pray that the Lord will bring it quickly for me. Hourly, daily, responding to him. What a great truth. But there are so many things going on in my life, it's hard to be aware of that. Viktor Frankl understood it because he lived the reality. My attitude makes a huge difference. That's why we call them the Beatitudes. If this is what you want to be, if you want to be sons and daughters, then be the bearers of peace, not the bearers of division. If you want to have comfort in your life, then hey, be one who extends comfort in kind. If you want to inherit land or property or things or whatever, hey, then it comes through meekness, not grabbing, but knowing that we are blessed abundantly in him. Another Christian author who was commenting on Viktor Frankl's perspective, he says, put that statement in a Christian context and this is what it sounds like. What is needed is a fundamental change in our attitude toward God. What matters most is not what we expect from him, but what he expects from us. We need to stop wondering about what we can get out of God and instead think of ourselves as being questioned by God daily, hourly. How are we doing in our journey? These may seem like harsh words, and yet if he is God, then doing business with him is on his terms, not ours. Wow. It's tough, but true. So attitude, Jesus said in the gospel, setting out on the whole understanding and mission of the gospel, attitude toward the gospel, attitude toward him, attitude toward life. Very important. And so it becomes a centerpiece as we really delve into St. Matthew's Gospel. I invite you to be attentive in your groups to that reality, how different my attitude can make it.